Okay, last time we covered the first rule of martial arts, which, as a reminder, is don't be there. As we learned using the metaphor of a fast approaching wave on the beach, this means that sometimes the easiest way to handle turmoil is to just avoid being in the place of conflict in the first place, or in the metaphor, to get out of the wave's strike zone. We also learned that the waves that come our way in life are not designed to smash us, though this may happen if we don't get out of the way. As a stand-in for some of the graver or more difficult challenges life can throw our way, I gave the sort of silly example of how I always used to get into fights with taxi drivers. I talked about how I unconsciously believed that taxi drivers represented a threat to my safety. So when they refused to follow my request that they turn the radio down, for example, I took that as confirmation that they really did want to hurt me. So I went ballistic in almost every taxi ride, again and again, to the point where I actually began to believe that taxi drivers were a strange and almost evil breed of humans. With this example in mind, we talked about how, like waves on a beach, the turmoil that bubbles up in our life is not cruel. And it isn't indifferent, either. Waves, like the taxi drivers I kept encountering, are part of a larger set of forces, such as the sun and the moon, the wind and the physics of water, all of which play their part in creating and sustaining and enhancing life itself. And finally, we learned that, like turmoil or conflict in our emotional or physical reality, this momentum towards life, as manifested in a wave, is an expression of the inherent love and completeness of the universe itself. Those taxi drivers looked like devils to me, but were actually angels in disguise, trying to teach me a lesson about this inherent perfection in the universe. But what happens when we don't notice the approaching wave? Say we weren't able to see the signs of the fast approaching breaker. We haven't been able to get in touch with our intuition so that we are forewarned of the difficult situation. Or maybe we did sense the wave's approach. Maybe we do know the people or things or situations that are going to cause us difficulties, but we just haven't been able to make the changes in our lives to take advantage of these insights. So we find ourselves there in the midst of the turmoil yet again. We're back with our abusive spouse or the child or parent or sibling or friend or whoever that brings out the worst in us. We're digging back into too much dessert or drugs or work yet again. Or in my silly example from last time, I find myself, amazingly, with yet another angry taxi driver. This is when we employ the second principle of martial arts, which is, should you find yourself there, heal the situation. When we are in the midst of conflict or turmoil, these ancient martial arts teachings tell us fighting is not the best course of action. Instead, our job then is to discover where the person or situation will yield to healing. Like the first rule, this one is not always easy to employ, which is why there are still two more to go. But employ it we can. The question is, how? General Iroh makes an appearance in the Legends of Korra cartoon stories with just the right advice on how this works. In the scene I'm thinking of, he tells the young spirit version of the Avatar Korra,
"This is something that you must do on your own. The people who have been coming to the spirit world lately have brought darkness and anger. So that is what you see now. But you have light and peace inside of you. If you let
very
it
simple,
out,
but very
you can
powerful
change the world
from our
around
fictional
you.
Friend, General Iroh. But what does his spirit self mean when he gives this advice to Avatar Korra? Well, it is the nature of humans to pick up the emotions of others, to resonate with their frequency. This means that in order to heal a dysfunctional situation, we have to come from a healing frequency ourselves to stimulate that same frequency in others. As General Iroh puts it, we have to be able to generate the energy or light of peace within ourselves and let it out. If I am coming from anger, my body literally has a related electrical signature generated by the human nervous system. This translates to facial expressions, bodily positions, voice patterns, and even odors that will stimulate the same electrical activity or energy level in other people or animals too. Unless they are masters themselves, they may not be able to resist this unconscious resonance. This explains why I kept encountering only awful taxi drivers. I was either in a vile state of mind to begin with myself and triggered them, or they were in that frequency themselves and I was stuck at a low enough consciousness that I was able to be activated by them. So in order to heal a situation, in order to follow this second rule of martial arts, it is best if we can level up to a higher frequency, up to that level of at least a healthy person, if not a master. Said another way, we have to have a belief that we are in partnership with a higher power, and we have to trust that this higher authority has our best interests at heart. We have to be ready as the junior partner to this higher power to submit to the wisdom of our senior partner, to go with the flow of the universe. For many of us, especially those of us who have built our lives quite successfully on the premise that there is no higher power and that it is we who control our life, this is going to be difficult. But the ancient masters were quite clear on this point. The small number of humans that reached these highest stages of mastery, the Buddhas and the Jesuses, they all said the same thing. An end to suffering is available to each and every one of us, right here, right now. If we can trust that this is true, then this conviction will manifest in our experience. If we can learn how to stop resisting or holding on to what the world sends our way or wanting what it doesn't, then we will see the truth of their words. This doesn't mean that attempting to control all the details of our life experience won't be met with some success. And this is the confusing part. Anyone that has accomplished relatively higher levels of security or wealth or status in their life probably would attribute those accomplishments to their own efforts and the tight control of themselves that they had as they worked toward their goals. The ancient masters aren't saying this is a bad strategy or that it won't work or that that sense that working towards those goals and tightly controlling ourselves was a good strategy. It is much better as a strategy than, say, sitting around blaming other people for our situation and doing nothing about it, other than maybe using alcohol or drugs or anger to feel better about it. The wisdom teachers of old are simply saying that there is a better way, one that requires less work and that will be met with even more success, way more success, actually. We can have all that security or wealth or status without the anxiety, without the anger, without the illness. But we do have to be open to security or wealth or status looking differently than we expect, coming in a way that we don't think it should, and in a time frame that we may not want or expect. So that is what it means to be healthy ourselves and what it looks like to follow General Iroh's advice and unleash the light and peace within us. Unfortunately, even as hard as this is, the bad news is that leveling up to the healthy level may not even be enough. If the situation is super difficult, even a healthy person may not be sufficiently advanced to heal it. So we shouldn't be too discouraged if we're not uber masters and we employ the healing principle and it still doesn't work for us in every situation. Now, on the plus side, healing a situation doesn't always have to be all that hard. In fact, the healing solution can often be obvious and easy. So in my taxi example, I know this seems really simple, but when I ask the taxi driver to turn off his radio and he ignores me or just turns it down a little, I could just allow him to have his radio like that or nicely ask him maybe to turn it down again, but a little more. Instead, I assumed that his response meant that the threat levels were skyrocketing. So I went straight into attack mode, or what at the time I would have called defense mode. Doing anything else wasn't even an option for me back then. If I had taken the time beforehand to change my beliefs, I would have been open to the possibility that there was some higher purpose being served, some information being conveyed to me through my experience. Maybe there would have been something on the radio I was supposed to hear, like a great new song or an ad for something I really need. Probably not, but maybe it was something else, like the radio staying on meant I was being given an opportunity to practice letting go and forgiveness. Maybe I just need to relax a little, and this was my opportunity to practice that. Maybe I needed to consider the reasons I was in the taxi and feeling so threatened and do something about that. The point is that just because I couldn't see the wisdom of the universe right then, that doesn't mean that the wisdom wasn't operating. And just because my mind and body are reacting in a way that expresses dislike for or fear about the situation or person, that doesn't mean my mind and body are accurate in their assessment. Just because it appears like the situation is bad, that doesn't mean the universe is somehow working against my short or long-term best interests. This truth applies whether the situation is making my life unpleasant or unhappy, or even unbelievably horrible. Yet even then, if I am operating at a healthy stage of self-mastery, if I am submitting to that higher power, if I am in touch with the light and peace within myself, even this apparently horrible situation will seem quite different. It bears mentioning here, while we're talking about handing control over to the universe, that this idea of submission to the higher power is such an important principle that we have an entire religion that is named for it. In fact, the origin of the word Islam is the word aslama, which means submit in Arabic. Obviously, there is much more to this branch of spiritual wisdom than just submission, but it shouldn't be lost on us that the very name for one of the most successful religions of all time encompasses this idea of submitting to the senior partner, to the higher authority. Whether you follow the particular religion or the rituals of the particular religion or of some other practice, the point is the same. In order for the universe to do the healing for us or through us, we do have to somehow follow this principle of submission, which we might summarize in the following three steps. First, we have to have faith in the existence of a higher authority. It doesn't have to be God, just that there is something more than us that influences the direction of reality in some way. The second aspect of submission, we could say, is that we have to believe in its inherent goodwill or love. And the third element of what submission means is that we have to figure out actually how we can fully submit to this higher authority. One or more of these three elements of submission may be a bridge too far for us. My own experience grappling with all of these three steps would certainly suggest that not a single one of them is easy at all. If, like me, you struggle with them, I would suggest that you just try to take on this perspective almost as an experiment. I mean, try it out properly in your life. Really believe it. Try to witness each and every event unfolding in your day through this lens of belief and submission. And then do it for long enough and pay close enough attention to see if your experiences change. We're not talking about having to believe in God necessarily, though it helps if you're starting from there. Instead, consider the possibility that there is an organizing principle of the universe, like gravity or electromagnetism or the speed of light, except that unlike those things, we can't see this one or measure it in the normal ways. Try out the possibility that these ancient masters were right, and that this organizing force does exist, and that it is bent upon moving both your personal history and everyone else's in the direction of love, or to an end of suffering. Jesus and Buddha both reached this conclusion in their own way. So did the ancient Indians, like Krishna. So did the ancient Egyptians, and the Jews, and the Muslims. Same thing in ancient Polynesia and ancient Americas. Again and again, this truth in one guise or another reappears. It's not like we're the first ones to encounter struggles in life. So maybe, as crazy as it might sound, especially to an atheist's ear, we should assume all these wisdom teachers weren't lying to us, and we should give it a try. Without this faith, or with a soft and untested faith, this submission to the higher authority can be terrifying, or just seem plain stupid. Back in our discussion of the first rule of martial arts, I mentioned that one possibility of submitting to the meaning of my taxi driver situation was that I was supposed to change jobs or move houses. Those are not exactly easy or inconsequential changes, so submission in that instance was quite a serious and significant undertaking. I mean, what if I did all that and things got worse? That would not have been a very good experiment. Fortunately, I'd tried out some less consequential changes first, and each time the feedback I got in the form of happiness and peace and health was extraordinarily positive, which then strengthened my faith and gave me the courage to take larger and larger steps towards submission. So we try out the faith plus submission technique in small ways and build up from there based on whether our life is getting any better. Over time, we are training ourselves to have the courage to submit to the higher authority reflexively and with bigger and bigger decisions. This need for training is evidenced by the rigorous commitment to multiple times a day of prayer in Islam and the many monastic sects within Christianity and Buddhism. If that sort of ritual works for you, great. But we don't have to follow such strict and specific guidelines to advance to the healthy stage of self-mastery or beyond. that sort of ritual of prayer may have worked in the age it was developed, or it still may work for certain people today, but there are so many other methods other than formalistic prayer, ranging from yoga to chanting to meditation in its multifaceted variety, that there is no need to fixate on one in particular. The point of all that training is so that when we are in a situation of turmoil, our reflex isn't to fight. Our mind instead immediately turns to this place of submission to the higher authority and to the search for the messages in the language of our experience. If we can trust that people like Buddha are right, then we will have faith that an end to suffering is available at any moment for any one of us. If we can believe that this is true, then this belief will be expressed in our experience of life. In Buddhist terms, we have to learn how to stop pushing away what we don't like, holding on to what we do like, or sitting around wanting what we don't have. If we can figure out how to do that, how to stop resisting, holding, and wanting, then we will have the power to heal any situation. In the moment of submission to this truth and the letting go of control, we open ourselves to what is the information that is being conveyed by the turmoil and to the information for how we can heal the situation. This act of letting go and submission shifts our inner state up to what General Iroh called the light and peace within us. And if we can rediscover this light and peace inside, everything changes. We can be in a conflict-ridden situation, but if we can let out the light and peace within, we can transform not just our mindset, but we will actually heal the situation and ultimately the world all around us. This is how we practice the second rule of martial arts. This is how we heal.